Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friend.
This week's Parsha
is Parsha's Vayera. And oh, do I have a treat for you today. We are going to learn a Pasuk with Rashi, and we are going to see this Rashi dance. Woo! Let's learn. It says that the Malachim, who were people, Malachim with most people, and they said to Avram Avinu, in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Tes, Vayomu Eilav, Ayei Salah Ishtecha. When they came to visit Avram Avinu, they asked him where his wife Sarah is. Rashi in Dibur HaMasechil copies the words Vayomu Eilav that they said to him, and he explains, Nokod al Aleph Yud Vav, Sheba Eilav, that you have dots on the Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav of the word Eilav. V'tanya, we learn in the Medrash, in Bereishis Rabba, Perek Mem Ches, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kol Makom, She'akosuf, She'aksav, Rabba al-Nakudo, Atadori She'aksav, V'kan al-Nakudo, Rabba al-Aksav, Atadori She'aksav. So whenever there are more letters without dots than with dots, then you expound those letters. Fekana nakuda, Rabba al-Aksav, Tadorish anakuda. Where there are more dots than letters, then you expound the letters with the dots. In other words, if you have a word, if the word has five letters, three of the letters in the word have dots, then you expound those three letters. If only two of the letters have dots, then you expound the letters without the dots. Whatever is more, if there are more letters without dots than with dots, expand the letters without dots. If there are more letters with dots than without dots, expand the letters with dots. That's how the Torah is written, with an akuda, with a dot, in this word, on the letters Aleph, Yud, Vav. And here, since there, how many letters are there in the word Eilav? Four. How many of those letters have dots? Three. So since three of the letters are dotted, three against one, we expand the letters. Sha'af l'sara shalo ayo Avraham. So what are we expounding? The word is Eilav. Take out the lamed and expound the Aleph Yud Vav, Eilav. So here we learn, Sha'af l'sara shalo ayo Avraham. They ask Sarah, ayo. Instead of Eilav, we take out the lamed, we expound the three letters with the dots. That's ayo. Where is Avraham? So not only did the Malachim ask Avraham, ayye Sarah ishtecha, where is Sarah? But also, vayomur ayo. They also asked Sarah, where is Avraham? So it worked both ways. They asked Avraham where Sarah is. They asked Sarah where Avraham is. Lamadnu. This we learned. And this is a Gemara in Bava Metzia and Af Pezayin. She yishal adam ve'achsan yishalo le'isha al ha'isha u'le'isha al ha'ish. There it doesn't say le'isha al ha'ish, but the rest of it's from Bava Metzia. That we learn that when you stay at someone's house, you should ask the man about the woman and the woman about the man. So that's the first part of Rashi. So what we learned until now in Rashi is that since there are three letters that have dots on them, Aleph, Yud, and Vav, and there's only one letter without a dot, that means we expand the letters with the dots because that's the majority. It's read Ayo. So not only did the Malachim ask Avraham where Sarah is, as we read in the simple pshat in the Pasuk, but the Malachim also asked Sarah where Avraham is. Ayo. Vayomar Ayo, where is Avraham? And from here we learn, says Rashi, that when you stay at someone's house, you should ask the man about the woman and the woman about the man. Okay? So before we get to the second part of Rashi, we're going to present a few questions. Number one. Rashi is explaining the word Elov. And he's saying that Elov can also be read Ayo. So why then in the Dibur HaMatzchil does Rashi write Vayomeru Elov? Rashi should have just said Elov. Rashi's Dibur HaMatzchil tells you what he's explaining. So he should have said that he's explaining Elov. That should be the Dibur HaMatzchil, just Elov. Why Vayomeru Elov? Why the extra Vayomeru? That's not what Rashi's explaining. He's just explaining the Elov, that it can be read Ayo also. So number, question number one. Question number two is that Rashi mentions the name of the Baal HaMaimer. Who said this? Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Now we have a cloud that the only time Rashi, what did Reb Shimon ben Elazar say? That if there are more letters without dots than with dots, then you expand the letters without the dots. If there are more letters with dots than without dots, you expand the letters without the dots. Good. But Rashi only tells us, usually Rashi doesn't say who said it. Rashi's trying to explain Pshat in the Pasuk. Rashi will only tell us the name of the person who gave this explanation if it helps us understand the Pshat. It's a klal in Rashi. So what is added to our Havana of Rashi, of the Pasuk, by adding Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer? He could have just said, Kol Malkom Shaksav, Rabba Anakuda, Tadol Shaksav, etc. What's Rashi teaching us with saying the name of the Baal Maimer? Don't say if you say in the name of Kol Omer, Dabar B'Shem Omer, maybe Gula Olam. It's a very nice idea. But Rashi, that's not Rashi's cloud. Rashi agrees that it's nice to say something in someone's name. But since Rashi here is trying to explain Pshuto Shom Likra, Rashi's trying to explain the Pasuk, he only mentions the name of the Baal Maimer if it helps our Havana in the Pasuk. So what is he telling us by teaching us that it was Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer? Question number two. Question number three. And this, the Nemuka Yosef in Bava Metzia, says in the name of Makshim HaOlam, they say in the yeshivas, Frek the Welt. We have a klal. Whenever you have dots on the letters, so the ones with, if there are more letters with dots than without dots, you expand the letters just with the dots, like we do here. Aleph, Yud, and Vav have dots. That's more than just the Lamed. So we expand the Aleph, Yud, and the Vav to mean Ayo, where is Avram? However, we have to understand, and if there are more letters without dots than with, then we expand those. So we have to understand this klal. Why do we have to make more letters with dots? In other words, let's give an example. Let's say the word Elov. We want to expound what? The Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav. So what could the Torah have done? The Torah, as the Torah always tries to do, the Torah tries to economize on its writing, on its letters, and here on its dots. So why did the Torah just dot the Lamed? If the Torah would have dotted the Lamed, what would that have meant? That if you put a dot on the Lamed, so that would have meant that you expound the Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav, because then the Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav don't have dots, and more letters don't have dots than do. It's three against one, so you're expounding the Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav. So why was it necessary specifically to dot the Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav, so that they have more dotted than non-dotted, and therefore you're dashing out the Ayo, when we could just as easily have just dotted the Lamed, and then we also would have been able to expound the Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav. So what did the Torah actually do? We dot the Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav, and now there are more letters with dots than without. There are more letters with nekudos than without. So therefore we can dash in the Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav. But it would have been even easier had the Torah just dotted the Vav, the Lamed, excuse me. And then if we would have just dotted the Lamed, the klal is that since there are more letters without dots than with, you dash in the ones without, which is Aleph, Yud, and Vav. So why did the Torah find it necessary to dot the Aleph, Yud, and the Vav when we could have just as easily dotted the Lamed and it had the same outcome? So that's the kasha of the Makshim HaOlam of the Muka Yosef there in Bava Metzia. So that's our third kasha. Number four. There's a stira from another Rashi to this Rashi. Later on, when talking about the whole parasha of Lot and his daughters and stone, says, "V'lo yada v'shachva v'kuma." He didn't know when he went to sleep, and he didn't know when he woke up. When he was sleeping, when he woke up, Lot didn't know what happened to him. He didn't know that his daughters were with him. So what does Rashi there say? Ubikuma nakud lomar shebikuma yoda. Ah, when he got up, he knew. So that's why we put a dot on Bikuma to tell us that when Lot got up, he knew what had happened. He knew that his daughters were intimate with him. So what do we see? What does a dot do? Since we have a dot over the Bikuma, it uproots the simple meaning of the text. What is the simple meaning of the text? That he didn't know. We doubted the Kuma to say, no, he really did know. It says, Lo yada b'shachro l'kuma. And then we doubted to say, no, he really does know. So that Rashi doesn't work with our pasuk. Why? Because in our pasuk, it says, Nekuda rabba alaksav, ata dorish hanakuda. Here we expound it. If you have more dots, then you expound it. You darshan it. There, you're not darshaning it. There, what does the dot do? The dot uproots the meaning of the text. It's not for a jerusha. It's to say, you think that Lot didn't know that his daughter was with him when he woke up. Oh yes, he did. Lot knew that his daughter was with him. So the dot uproots the meaning of the text. And yet in our instance, the dot is supposed to teach us something about the meaning of the text. It's not only a law, it can also be darshan ayo. So how do we understand these two rashis? That's our fourth question. Another question. Rashi continues in the same Dibur HaMasechil, and he says, "B'baba mitziya, omrin yodim hayu malchei asharis." Sara imenu heichan haisa. The Gemara Bava Metzia says, Pezayin Amar Aleph quotes Rashi, that the Malachi Asharis knew where Sara was. So why did they ask Avram where she was? They want us to know that it's teaching us that she was a modest woman. It's telling Avram Avinu that she's a modest woman. In other words, they want to say that, hey, where is Sarah? And he's going to say, she's in the tent. Vihine is always something new. Like Yaakov in the morning, Vihine Leah. Oh, he didn't know that Almighty is Leah. Oh, Sarah's in the tent. Oh, wow, she's a modest woman. L'chav v'abad said, Avraham Avinu should love her more. I have a tzanua wife. Beautiful. This is great. So that's why the Malachi, these angels, asked Avram Avinu where Sarah was, so he'd be able to answer, she's in the tent, in order that he'd love her more, but not because they didn't know, they knew where she was. That's the Gemara Bava Metzia. Continues Rashi, Amar Rav Yosi, Baruch Hanina, Kedei L'Shagei La Kol Shel Bracha. You know why they asked where she is? In order to send her a Kol Shel Bracha. They're reading a Seuda, and it's nice to send to the Rebbetzin a Kol Shel Bracha. So they asked where she was in order to send her a Kol Shel Bracha. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. So we just have four kashas in the first part of Rashi. And now we're going to ask a few on this part of Rashi. Again, our four kashas in the first part of Rashi are, why in the Dibur HaMasechil is the word Vayomu? All he's saying is Elav. Why is it called the Baal HaMayim Reb Shimon ben Elazar? Why don't we just economize and only dot the lamed, and then we'll know to expound the aleph yud and the vav? Why do we have to dot the aleph yud and the vav in order to expound it? We'd have the same result either way. And the fourth question was, we see in another Rashi that the dot uproots the meaning of the text. And here, the dot teaches us to expound the text. Those are our four questions. So the last question is, how do you reconcile between the two Rashis? The Rashi here, and the Rashi with respect to Lot's daughters. Now in the second part of Rashi, that the Malachi Asharis knew where she was, they just wanted to Avram to realize again how modest she was, so we would love her more. And Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, in order to send her a Kol Shel Bracha. We also have a number of questions. says they knew where she was, but in order to chabav al bala, kedei l'shagar al kol shel bracha, to send her kol shel bracha, they asked where she was. Now, this is not explaining why we have dots on the Aleph, Yud, and the Vav. This is explaining Ayei Sara Ishtecha. The pasuk is Vayomu Eilav Ayei Sara Ishtecha. This is not explaining the Vayomu Eilav. This is not explaining why there are dots on the Ayal. This is explaining Ayei Sara Ishtecha, why they asked where she is. So Rashi should have started a new Dibra Maschil. And Rashi should have said, Dibra Maschil Ayei Sara Ishtecha. You know why? They really knew where she was. But they were asking so that Avraham Avinu realized she's an attendant and love her more. They were asking because they wanted to send her a kol shel bracha, according to the other opinion. But why is it in the same Dibra Maschil as Vayomu Eilav? That's talking about the dots over the Aleph, Yud, and Vav. What does that have to do with that? Could have been in its own Dibra Maschil. Should have been in its own Dibra Maschil, because it's explaining Ayei Sara Ishtecha, where's your wife Sara? And the kasha is even stronger. Because Rashi brings from Bava Metzia, Shetsnua Isa, she was a modest woman. That contradicts what he said earlier. Because what did Rashi say earlier in Rashi? That Afla Sara Shalu Ayel Avram. They even ask Sara where Avram is. That's not so, from to start talking to the lady. So at the beginning of Rashi, we see something that's a little bit anti-tznius. They're schmoozing with the Rebbetzin. Ah, where's Avram? At the end of Rashi, we see Tznua Haisa. So it's not only that it should have been in a different Dibra Maschil, but it even doesn't seem to shtim so well. It doesn't seem to be so consistent with the earlier part of Rashi when we're emphasizing. Here we're emphasizing the tznius of Sara, and the earlier part of Rashi seems to have a little bit different color to it. So why does Rashi bring them together? It's question number one. Should go by itself, at the very least. Also, Rashi emphasizes, Rashi doesn't quote his sources all the time. Very often he doesn't. Says what he says, and you have to find it. You get one of those chumashim with Rashi that tells you what his sources were. Rashi says Bava Metzia. Why is it so important for Rashi to tell us that it's a Gemara Bava Metzia? In the second part of Rashi, Bava Metzia Omrim Yodim Hayu Malachi Asher Samein Weichanai. So why is it important for us for Rashi to tell us that it's in Bava Metzia? Not only that, but at the end of Rashi, he says that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says that he asked in order to send her a kol shel bracha. Why is it important to know that it's Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina? Again, Rashi only tells us who said it. If it's teaching us something in the pasuk, then we have to know the Baal Maimon. Not only that, but when he says l'chabav al ba'ala, they asked where Sarah is in order that Avram should love her more. They didn't say Rashi didn't say who said that statement. Only the last statement, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, "L'shagar l'kol shel bracha." So why is it so important to know Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina? Another question. Why did the Malachim send Sarah from their own kol shel bracha? That doesn't seem to be so tzniistic. Avram should send from his kol shel bracha. But these guys are sending her kol shel bracha. That doesn't seem so. That the height of tznius. The height of tznius is the husband should send his wife. But you're sending her gifts. You're sending her kol shel bracha. So why is it important for them to do it? To send her to do something which seems the opposite of tznius. That these men should send her their kol shel bracha, not that Avram should do it. Another question. Rashi says three reasons why the Malachim ask Ayei Sara Ishtecha. Number one, because you should ask your host, the Ish ala Isha. You should ask the man about his wife. The second reason we saw is lehodia shetsnua haisa. They also ask this in order to teach, in order to tell Avraham Avinu that she was tsnua. And the third reason that they ask where Sarah is because kedei l'shagel kol shel bracha, to find out where she is in order to send her a kol shel bracha. That's the third reason. Why does Rashi have to bring three reasons to ask where about Sarah, where Sarah is? One reason should be enough. If Rashi's bringing three reasons, there's a reason he brings all three. Why all three? Why isn't one enough? Remember, Rashi doesn't write everything Chazal said. Rashi's very, very particular in his commentary. So therefore, we have to know, like the Meiri says about Rashi, you have to sit shivanikim on every tipa of ink. Like we say, a woman has a tipa of blood. She has to sit 7 clean days. On every drop of ink, every drop of ink of Rashi HaKadosh, you have to sit 7 days. So why does Rashi, if Rashi has three reasons, we obviously need all three. Furthermore, Rashi earlier explained that one of the reasons these guys came, these malachim came, who looked like people, was levaser es Sarah, to tell Sarah that she's having a baby. So we understand the pashtas, that the question, ayyeh Sarah ishtecha, where's your wife Sarah, is why? Because they want to tell her the good news. Like it says afterwards, v'nei bein l'sarah ishtecha, v'sarah shomah, Sarah heard. So that's a very good reason. If the malach is coming to tell Sarah she's going to have a baby, so the best thing to explain, ayyeh Sarah ishtecha, would be so that I want to know that she's around so that I can tell her the good news. She's going to have a baby. And yet Rashi doesn't even mention that. Rashi gives three other reasons. Now the three reasons Rashi gives are three different reasons. And yet Rashi writes it in one hemshech, in one continuum. Rashi doesn't write davar acher, davar acher. Rashi writes them all together without showing that they're different. So why does Rashi write them as one continuum? As a matter of fact, like we said earlier, it seems that the one of them is against the other two. One of them is to show that how tsanua she was. She's in the tent. And the other two seem shtika lack of tsnius. They're asking Avraham about Sarah. They're sending her a kol shel bracha. And yet Rashi writes it behemshech echa. The question is even stronger. Because in Bava Metzia, according to our Gerson, Bava Metzia, it says, k'dei l'chabava bala, that they want to make Sarah beloved to her husband. And then it says, Reb Yossi Bar Chanina Amar. Reb Yossi Bar Chanina says, first it says his name, and then it says Omar. So there's a klal in Shas, remember this? Steichen says it. That if you have the name of the rabbi, and then the word Omar, it means he's arguing. If you have the word Omar, and then the name of the rabbi, it means that he's not arguing. So here it's Muridik what Rashi does. Me'alef, what Rashi does. He turns around the Gemara. The Gemara first says his name, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, and then Omar, k'dei l'shagel kol shel bracha, to send her kol shel bracha. Meaning, he's arguing with the previous opinion. Yet Rashi says Omar, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. First he says Omar, which means he's agreeing with the previous opinion. So that is a change in Rashi. So Rashi's turning the Gemara on its head. He's changing the whole pshat in the Gemara. Gemara seems to be saying that he's arguing, giving a different reason that's mutually exclusive, that precludes the previous reason. And Rashi says, no, it's the same thing. So on the first part of Rashi, we had 4 kashas. And the second part of Rashi, we had about 7. So just to review, 7 kashas. Number one, the second part of Rashi that says that they knew where Sarah was, and they just asked either to tell her, to tell Avram that she was tsnuah, that he should be reminded how modest she was, so he'd love her more. And Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina said, in order to send her a Kol Shel Bracha, that second part of Rashi, we had seven questions. Number one, it seems to be explaining the words Ayesara Ishtecha, not Elov Ayo, that we're expanding the word Elov to mean Ayo. So since it's explaining Ayesara Ishtecha, it should be in a separate Dibor Maskel, Ayesara Ishtecha. And not only that, it even seems to be slightly contradicting the earlier part of Rashi. The earlier part of Rashi is emphasizing, this part of Rashi is emphasizing your tznius. The earlier part of Rashi seems to be a slight lack of tznius. Question number one. Question number two, why do we need to know it's Bava Metzia? Why is that important for Rashi to note? Question number three, why is it important for us to know that Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina said it? Magan, that when he says, La'odiyah shetznua ha'isa, it doesn't say, Rashi doesn't tell us who the Bala Maimer is there. But when it starts talking about L'shaga L'kot Shel Bracha, Rashi tells us who said it. Number four, why do they send Sarah their own Kol Shel Bracha? Little lack of tznius. Avram should have done it. Number five, why do we need three reasons? Why are they asked about Sarah? That a person should always ask the man about the woman to tell her that she's, tell Avram that she's modest and to send her the Kol Shel Bracha. Why do we need all three reasons? Number six, earlier on, Rashi already told us that one of the malachim is coming to tell us, to give Sarah the good tidings. So it makes sense, Ayesara Ishtecha, is to tell us, is to ask where Sarah is so we can tell her the good news. Like we see that she's standing by the tent and she heard this. So why do we need separate reasons? Why not just, I want to know where Sarah is to tell her the good news? And number seven, why does Rashi state it as one continuum? As if all these reasons work together. And not only that, he changes the Gemara that says Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina Omar, and he makes it Omar Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina, which means that according to the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina is arguing. The Lashagar Koshal Bracha reason is arguing with the previous reason. And yet Rashi seems to say that it's all, they all work together. Those are our seven questions. So we had seven on the second part, five on the first, four on the first part. That makes for 11. Sweetest friends, let us now get to the Tifu Pshat in Rashi HaKadosh. And in order to help ourselves, we are going to go to the brilliant exposition of Rashi, which was presented by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1975, Parshas Vayera. What was I doing in 1975? It could very well be that I used to see the Lubavitcher Rebbe on cable TV, and I wouldn't stand for very long and listen because I was watching other things. But maybe I watched it for a few minutes and then turned to watch my hapless Mets lose another game and be pushed only 73 and a half games in last place. Those were the days, my friends. So what does the Rebbe say? And this is printed in the Likutei Sichos in Krach Tes Vov. With Rashi's perush of Vayomer Elov, Rashi is answering the following kasha. In Pashtus, why are they asking Ayesara Ishtecha? As we said, in order in Pashtus to tell Sarah that she's having a baby with Vasara Sarah, but that would bring up another question. The shlichus to tell Sarah that she's going to be pregnant and have a baby is only for one malach. Like Rashi is medayik earlier, and he says, Echad levaser es Sarah. It's only one malach who's telling Sarah. And later on it says, Vayomer shov ashuv, vihine ben l'sarah ishtech, vayomer, one malach. There's going to be a ben for Sarah ishtech, one malach to give the besur of the ben. So why does it say, Vayomru Elov, Ayesara Ishtecha? They said, where is your wife Sarah? If we accepted the premise that he is coming, the Malach is coming, the Malach is coming to share with Sarah the good tidings that she's going to have, a baby. Since only one Malach is doing it, is going to be doing the Mavaser, So then it should have said Vayomer. Why does it say Lashon Rabbim Vayomeru Eilav Ayesara Ishtecha? Why the Vayomru? It should be Vayomer. Why plural? It should be Lashon Yachid. And that's why Rashi writes in the Dibur HaMaschil Vayomeru Eilav. We had asked, it would have been enough just to write Eilav. We're explaining the Eilav. No, no, no. Rashi's also explaining to us something about the Vayomru. Rashi's bothered by the Vayomru. Vayomeru Eilav. What do you mean Vayomeru? The Eilav. The dots on the Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav. That's what we need to. No, no, no. The Vayomru is also a problem. What do you mean Vayomeru? It's only one Malach who needs to know where Sarah is in order to tell her that she's going to have a baby. And on that, Rashi answers, Lamadnu she yishal adam be'achsan yishalo li'ish al ha'isha. That teaches you a lesson, Rashi says, that you should ask the host, the male host, about his female host. And since all of the Malachim asked, Ayesara ishtecha, we can learn that it's not only to be Mufasir as Sarah that they're asking, because then it would be Vayomer, it's only one man's job, or one malach's job, Ein malach echad oseh shtei shlichuyos, only one malach has to do it. So when they all said Ayesara ishtecha, it must be to teach us this rule of Derech Eretz, that you should ask the Baal HaBayis about the Baal HaSabayis. About the, as they say in Yiddish, the Pleinister. That's what the Hasidim call the other wife, the Pleinister. And since from Vayomru, we learn, Lashon Rabbim, that you have to ask about your Achsanya, about the Baal HaSachsanya, about the lady host. So for the same reason, you have to ask the male host about the lady host, you obviously, for the same Derech Eretz, have to ask the lady host about the male host. It works both ways. And now we understand that it has to be that not only did they ask Avram about Sarah, they also asked Sarah about Avram. And if that's the case, if they had to ask, just like you have to ask the male about the female, it makes sense. You're also asking the female about the male, because it's about, like Derech Eretz, being friendly, being nice. So then why doesn't it say it in the pasuk? It only says they asked Avram about Sarah. It doesn't say they asked Sarah about Avram. Ah, Zokta Rashi, Azder Farm, Muzmen Zogin. Rashi says that that's why we have to say that the Nikud, those dots, over the Aleph Yud Vav of Elov, they said to him, to Avram, but we dot the Aleph Yud and Vav Ayo, is Shayach to Pshuto Shel Nikra. Even though, in a number of places, Perek Zayin Pasuk Hey, and in other places, Rashi doesn't tell us, doesn't explain the dots, because the dots aren't answering any kashas in Pshuto Shel Mikra. Rashi's main job, as he tells us himself in a number of places, is to explain Pshuto Shel Mikra. Here, Rashi had a Pshuto Shel Mikra problem. If it's Vayomru, then it must be it's not to be Mevasir Sarah, it's to ask Avram about Sarah, because that's the nice thing to do. So it must be it's also a nice thing to do to ask Sarah about Avram. Why doesn't it say that? Ah! So to answer that question in Pshat, Rashi had to say, you know those dots over the Aleph Yud and Vav? That teaches you they also ask Sarah about Avram. So only here, where it's Muchach and Pshuto Shel Mikra to explain the dots, Rashi doesn't. But oftentimes he doesn't. So that's what the Ayo is coming to teach you. That Rashi has to tell us the Ayo, because otherwise it doesn't make sense that they only asked Avram about Sarah, they didn't ask Sarah about Avram. Rashi said, no, they also asked Sarah about Avram. Look at the dots. That should be Ayo. Where is he? Where's Avram? However, we still remain with the question that it says, Sheyishal Adam Be'achsanya. Person should ask the host. So Bepashtus, why are you asking? It's an Indian of She'ela Shalom. Like Rashi says there, in Bava Mitzia, so too in Shulchan Aruch, Aben Ezer, Simon Chaf Aleph, Sivav, and he argues with Tosfos. It's an Indian of She'ela Shalom. So if you're being shoel b'shalom, that's why you're asking, how are they? Why does it matter where Sarah is? Ayei Sarah ishtecha. You want to know mashloma, we would say in modern Hebrew. People today say ma'anyanim. It's much nicer to say mashlomcha. Mashlome. Why? Because what's your peace? What's your shlemus? It's like a more ruchniistic way of doing things. So they want to know, how are you? So why are they saying, ayei, where is Sarah? When that's not the point. You're asking the Balach Sanya about the Balach Sasanya, because Sheol Shom, how is she? So why do they say, ayei, Sarah Ishtecha? So therefore Rashi continues. Rashi can't stop now. Rashi in the very same Dibur HaMaskil has to tell us that Bibava Mitzia Omrim, in Bava Mitzia they say, Kedei Lechabiva Lo Dio, Kamatznua Isa, Kedei Lechabiva Al Balo. Tell Avram, you're such a modest wife, now he loves her more, that's what he wants. Or Lashaga La Koshel Bracha. Send her the Koshel Bracha. That what the Malachim were Shoel B'Shloma is in the Lashon of Ayei Sarah Ishtecha. It was not a usual how is your wife doing? It was something more practical, a more practical Shoel B'Shloma, that they want to bring more Shalom between Avram and Sarah. So how do they bring more Shalom between Avram and Sarah? So the answer is by reminding Avram Avinu that she's in the tent and she's a modest woman. Ayei Sarah Ishtecha. That's the way they're Shalom B'Shloma. Ah, where is she? Ah, she's in the tent. Oh, I'm such a tzanua wife, Avram Avinu says to himself. Hinei's a new thing. It's like, oh wow, this is terrific. That's how they were being Shalom B'Shloma. So it wasn't just they were asking her location. They were bringing more Shalom between Avram and Sarah by asking where she was, because then they'll remember she's in the tent. Or, Kedei L'Shagar V'Koshel Bracha. They want to send her a Koshel Bracha. That's also Mabit Shalom. Making Sarah feel good. That's how the Be'er Mayim Chaim, the brother of the Maharal, explains this part of Rashi. That's when they said, Ayei, where is Sarah? That's the Sheila B'Shloma. The Chabav Avala, make more Shalom between her and Avram, to send her a Koshel Bracha, make Shalom between her and herself, her and the Malachim, make everybody happy together. That's what they meant when they said, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha. That's why Rashi had to add, in this very Dibur HaMaskil above Mitzi Omrim. Otherwise, without that, we still don't understand why they said, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha. It's just Lishol B'Shloma. What is asking about her location have to do with any? Where is she? It's like sort of a question of curiosity. Where is she? Where is she hanging out? The answer is a lot more than where is she hanging out. Something very concrete, something very practical, something very useful. To remind Avram she's modest. Send her a Koshel Bracha. Now that we know that Rashi also brings from the Gemara and Bava Mitzia, Lo Odia Shetznua Haisa, we can answer another kasha. We'll explain. A word or a letter that has a dot teaches you that word or letter is different from other words or letters. That makes sense? If it has a dot on top, so it's different than a letter without a dot. What makes it different? So, if you say that it's coming to erase it, that the dot means to say, no, it's not true, it's coming to be mochek. You can't say that al derech hapshat. Why? Because then why is it written in the first place? If the dot is coming to erase the letter, or the dots are coming to erase the word, then I have a better idea. Don't write the dots, and don't write the words. If that's why it's coming to erase, that's al derech hapshat. You can look in the Gemara in Pesach and Tzadikim Alam Beis, Dibur HaMaskil Makub. Maybe halacha is different. But certainly, Aderech HaPshat, if it's coming to erase, then why write it in the first place? So we have to say that the dot makes it weaker. Whatever is dotted is not erased in Ganzen completely, but it's made schwacher. It's just weakened. Like Rashi says about the famous historical kiss between Yaakov and Esau, Vayashakeu, he kissed him. Why is there a dot over Vayashakeu? To say that he didn't kiss him with all of his heart. Esau wasn't in love, such love with Yaakov. Believe me, sweetest friends. So what's the dot there for? It's making the kiss weaker. It's a shvacha kiss. He doesn't really mean it. It's like when the game show host kisses the, Bob Barker used to kiss the lady on The Price is Right. Does he really love her? No! Thousands of women went up and he kissed all of them. Why? Because that's part of the game show. You know, before they win a car and a trip to Hawaii, so he gives them a kiss. Doesn't really mean it. Esau? I don't know if Bob Barker's a Russia, but Esau certainly was. So we'll give Bob Barker a limud zchus that he was a great guy. And his kisses weren't with all of his heart. Were Esau's? Certainly not. So that's why there's a dot over by Shakira that Esau didn't kiss him with all of his heart. If he kicked him, he would have kicked him with all of his heart, that's for sure. So what a dot does is, it makes him weaker. Now there's another pshat there in Rashi that he did kiss him with all of his heart. You know what that's doing? That's like subtracting from Esau. That's like weakening the Esau vayishakeu. He kissed him, but it's not the usual Esau, because this kissing was with all of his heart, and that weakens our Esau, because halacha b'yadua she'Esau sonei liyakov. That's the cloud. Esau hates Yaakov. So if he kissed him with all his heart, he was a little less Esav dick. So the dad is either coming to say that the kiss wasn't completely sincere, or that the kiss was sincere, but it wasn't a real Esav. But either way, it's weakening something. Or you can say that the dad is doing even more. You can say that the dad uproots it. It's oker, the word, like Rashi says, v'layada, v'shichlo, v'kuma, that Lot didn't know that his daughter had been intimate with him, not when he went to sleep, and not when he woke up. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says there's a dot over ubikuma, and that dot teaches you that when he woke up, he realized he did know. But even though it's oker, the simple meaning, he didn't know, and Rashi is saying he did know, but it isn't completely erasing the word. Why not? Because after it says, V'lo yada b'shichvo v'kuma, the pasuk tells us, V'ahimi machras, so the next day the daughters get together, and the first night, the first daughter was with him. And they said, hey, let's give him wine again, let's get him drunk, and then you'll sleep with him, the second daughter, and you'll get pregnant. So it doesn't make sense. Since b'kumo yada, when he got up, he realized what had happened. So this Eitzav, let's give him wine to drink. Nishka can't help him. Not going to help. Because he knows now what his daughter did. It's disgusting. So what's the pshat? Pshat is that bekumo yod. So what were the daughters thinking? What were the daughters thinking? They knew he was onto something. Bekumo yoda. So why do they think it's going to work the second time? Why? Because Bekumo Yada is only talking about Lot. Lot knew. But the daughters thought that when he got up, he didn't know. And therefore, they decided in the morning, Nashkemi Yain, let's give him the drink again. So the Bekuma uproots the Velo Yada from Lot. It's not that Lot didn't know, Lot knew. But the daughters didn't know. The Bechira and the Tzira, they didn't know. They thought that Lot was still in the dark about the whole thing. So when it says v'lo yada b'shichvo v'kuma, he didn't know when he went to sleep, when he woke up. About Lot, it's not 100% true. When he woke up, he did know. And that's why the dot makes it a little bit weaker. It uproots it. He did know. However, it's not completely uprooting it. Because as far as the girls were concerned, he didn't know. So the pasuk is still true. V'lo yada b'shichvo b'kuma. It just depends from whose perspective. From the daughter's perspective, it's true that Lot is completely in the dark about the whole thing. However, the dad is there to tell you, but as far as Lot himself is concerned, he really knew. So you see that a pasuk can either make it weaker, the word weaker, as we find that either Esav's kiss wasn't a sincere kiss, or it wasn't a real Esav. And you can even uproot it, that the pasuk shot is he didn't know when he woke up, and the dad says, no, he really did know. However, the pasuk is still true. You can't say, don't write the pasuk at all, because from the daughter's perspective, he didn't know. And therefore, we understand now in our case, since the osios aleph yud vav and elof have dots on them, what did we say? We said that just dot the lamed, and then anyway you're going to dash in the aleph yud vav. So why do we find it necessary to dot the aleph yud and the vav if we can have the same outcome with only dotting one letter? So what does that teach you by dotting the aleph yud and the vav? That the question to Sarah, Ayo, where is Abraham, wasn't such a strong question. Like the question, a love to Abraham. When they asked Abraham, a love, where's your wife Sarah, that was a stronger question than the Ayo. When they asked Sarah, in other words, it weakens the Ayo. When they asked Sarah where Abraham was, it wasn't such a strong question. So now we have to have dotted the Aleph, Yud, and the Vav to teach us that lesson. That the Ayo is a weaker Ayo to Sarah than Avram, and the Elov from Avram to Sarah. Where is Sarah? Ve'omru Elov. And they said to Avram, where is Sarah? That was a stronger question than what they said to Sarah, Ayo. Where is Avram? That's why the Ayo has to be dotted. It weakens the Ayo. If you would have just dotted the Lamed, you wouldn't have known that. By dotting the Aleph, Yud, and the Vav, we weaken the Ayo that they're asking Sarah, where's Avram? Now, in what is expressed this weakness in the question of Ayo Avraham? So that's why Rashi brings the Gemara in Bava Metzia Lehodia Shetsnua Haisa, to teach you to tell Avraham that Sarah was a Tsnua. Since Sarah was a modest woman, so logic would then dictate that the question, Ayo, where is Abraham, the Malachim didn't ask in such a strong and public fashion. It was like in a modest way. Like they were sort of whispering to her, where's Abraham? Not to have like a loud, rambunctious conversation with Sarah, hey, where's Abraham? They didn't want to do that, because that's not so modest. They said, Ayo, like, in sort of like a whisper in a softer way. And this way, why? As Rashi continues, says, Lahodia, that she was Tsnua. So the Elav, they told Sarah, they told Avram, they asked Avram where Sarah is, say that she's Tsnua, she's in the tent. But we also dot the Ayo, and that's why the Ayo, it's not only Ayay Sarah Ishtecha, but the Ayo is also shayach to the last part of Rashi. Ayo, even when they asked Sarah Ayo, that was because Lahodia Shetsnua Isa, because she was a modest woman. So that connects the two parts of Rashi together. Since it's a weaker question, you have to know why was it so weak? Why was it such a soft whispered question? The answer is because Sarah was a Tsnua, and that's the way you speak to a Tsnua, not in a way of piercing and gilui, oh, everyone should know. So according to this, we understand that Rashi brings, Lehodia Shetsnua Haisa, is not a contradiction to what we said earlier in Rashi, that they asked Sarah where Avraham is. No. The contrary. That shows you, we had said earlier that it seems to be a stira. Earlier, we said that they're asking Sarah about Avraham, which seems not so tsanua. And now we're learning that Sarah is a tsanua. It's a contradiction. The answer is no. We're saying that the Ayo is dotted to tell you that yes, they asked Sarah about Avram, but we dotted the Ayo because she's so tsnua. They asked her a weak question, a soft question, so that they wouldn't talk to a woman in a public way. So the two parts of Rashi really work together. That's why Rashi explains the dots over the ayo. And again, we couldn't doubt the lamed. We wouldn't have known that if we doubted the lamed, that they asked her in a soft way. By doubting the ayo, that's what it teaches us. So it's not just that we want to dash in the aleph yud and the vav. We want to know how to dash in the aleph yud and the vav. How do you dash in it? That it's now softer. Why does Rashi proceed? The Yodim Hayu, they knew where Sarah was, but they wanted to inform Avram that she was Tsnua. So first Rashi says, B'bava Mitzia Omrim. In Bava Mitzia we say, why does Rashi add that? We asked earlier. The reason is, because the beginning of Rashi, the cloud of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that if there are more dots with letters than without letters, there are more letters with dots than without dots, Yudashin with dot letters. There are more letters without dots than with dots, Yudashin without dot letters. That cloud of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, which is in the Medrash, as I noted at the beginning, in Brachos Rabbah. So Rashi brings the continuation from Bava Mitzia. Why? Because this has to be continued. In other words, what we learned in Brachos Rabbah, this cloud of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, has to be continued by the Gemara in Bava Mitzia that says, L'odia shetznua isa. And therefore, Rashi emphasizes, B'bava Mitzia Omrim. In Bava Mitzia, they say that this inyan that it says in Bava Mitzia that she was Snua Haisa is Omrim. In other words, it's Lekulei Alma. Even according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that they even asked Sarah where Avram is, and that works together with Lo'odia Shetznua Haisa. Because like we said earlier, that was part of the question. When they asked, even Rav Shimon ben Elazar would agree to this, when they asked Sarah where Avram is, but it was a weaker question, because she was such a Tznua. So it works together. So that's why we say, B'bav Mitzia Omrim. It's the Kulei Alma. Not that Rav Shimon ben Elazar would argue and say that he doesn't agree. No, Rav Shimon ben Elazar only says his drush of since here there are more letters with dots than without dots. So therefore, dashing the with dots, they ask Sarah, Ayo, where is Avram? And he would argue with Lodiya Shetznua Haisa. No, don't say that. Because even Rav Shimon ben Elazar would agree with this. That's why it says, B'bav Mitzia Omrim. Even Rav Shimon ben Elazar agrees what it says in Bava Mitzia. And not only does he agree, but it says, B'bav Mitzia Omrim, even according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said that they asked, in order to send her a Koshel Bracha, even he would agree, that the L'shagel HaKoshel Bracha is not a stira to Tznua Haisa. Even though we said earlier, that it seems to be. What are they sending her gifts for? What are they sending her Koshel Brachas for? If she's such a Tznua. No, this, even Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina would agree. And that's why Rashi didn't write like the Gemara. It says, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Omar. It says, Omar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Because here, it's an exception to the usual rule. Here, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina is agreeing, even though it says in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Omar, seems to be that he's arguing. No, Rashi puts it at the beginning to show that in this case he's really agreeing. How is he agreeing? Now we're going to get to. Now, the perish of Lo'odia Shetznua Haisa is not enough. It's not enough to say that they asked where Sarah is in order to remind Avram how Tznua she was. Why? Because Avram Avinu already knew. And they also knew that Avram knew. So why were they asking? So they wanted to strengthen it a little bit. Avram Avinu already knew how Tznua she was. But in order to make it a little bit stronger, they said, where is she? So they'll say she's in the tent and like her a little bit more. But since Avram Avinu already knew, so that's not enough to say, L'odia Shetznua Haisa, to tell Avram she was Tznua. He already knew. So you're right, it makes sense. They did it to strengthen it a little bit. But that's not enough for them to ask. So therefore Rashi says that the Malachim had another reason. What was the other reason that they asked where Sarah is? Kedei l'shager la kol shel bracha? Because they wanted to send her a kol shel bracha. That's why the first reason isn't enough. Rashi had to add from the Gemara Bar Mitzvah a second reason that they asked about Sarah. Besides the reason we saw in the Medrash, that it's a nice thing to do to ask about the Baal HaSavais. Now, we said now we can bring the two reasons above Mitzvah. That the first reason isn't enough because he already knew she was at Tznuah. So then we had to add on Kedei l'shager la kol shel bracha. However, that reason is also not enough. Why? Because as we says, Rashi writes, Yodim Hayu, they knew where she was. So they didn't really have to ask where Sarah is in order to send her the kol shel bracha. So therefore Rashi says that they asked where Sarah is so that Avram will be able to say, Hinei Ba'ol, she's in the tent. And like her more, to realize she's at Tznuah. So what we're explaining now is why you need both reasons above Mitzvah. And they're not really, they're complementing each other as we'll see soon. But each reason alone isn't enough. On one hand, it's not enough to say that they wanted to tell Avram she was Tznuah, because he knew she was Tznuah. So therefore it's to send her a kol shel bracha. But it's not enough to say that they were asking her in order to send her a kol shel bracha, because they really knew where she was. They were just saying, you know, before you send, like, where is she? Maybe they didn't want to show off, whatever it was. They really knew where she was. So they didn't really have to ask in order to send her the kol shel bracha. So for that, you need the reason of to strengthen Avram's feeling of chavivus towards Sarah. So the two reasons really work together. One is not enough. You need both. And there's another advantage in the reason of kedei l'shager l'kol shel bracha and the reason of lo'diyah shetznuah ha'isa. Because by the union of shetznuah ha'isa, that's only a negative. She's not in a revealed place. She's not exposed. And not where she is particularly. They're really just showing where she isn't. When they said, Ayyeh Sarah Ishtecha, they're saying where she isn't. That's the Olodiyah Shetznuah. She is not in a public place. But according to the reason of L'shager L'kol Shel Bracha, they're not only emphasizing the negative, that she's not in a public place, but that she's in a specific place. In other words, he said that she's in the Olam. That's a specific place. So, therefore, that's the advantage of L'shager L'kol Shel Bracha. L'shager L'kol Shel Bracha, Ayyeh Sarah Ishtecha implies that they're asking where specific, in what specific place she is. What they were really saying, according to the first reason of that she's Tznuah, is where they're really saying where she isn't. She is not in a public place. So the idea of Tznuah is not to be public. So that's the emphasis. She is not in a public place. Doesn't really matter where she is. Matters where she isn't. And yet they ask where she is. So therefore it's better to say, where is she? She's in the Olam because they have to send her to Kol Shel Bracha. In order to send her to Kol Shel Bracha, they have to know exactly where she is. So the Ayyeh Sarah Ishtecha works even better with the reason of to send her to Kol Shel Bracha. Because that's something positive. She is in the tent to send her to Kol Shel Bracha. Shankin, the other one, it doesn't really matter where she is as long as she's not in public. Okay? So that's why it's important also to have that other reason, L'shager L'kol Shel Bracha. Now, we had asked earlier why the Malachim needed to send Sarah from their Kol Shel Bracha. Why didn't Avram send from his Kol Shel Bracha? That would be a more tzanua way of doing it, no? The answer is because Avram Avinu, when he was doing Achnasas Orchim, was so farnumen, he was so involved, he was so immersed in being Mishamish, these angels, Vu Omeid Aleihem, by Ochelu, he was standing over them, so he wasn't eating. You think Avram Avinu was eating? If Avram Avinu wasn't eating, my sweetest friends, then how's he going to send Sarah Kol Shel Bracha? He's busy. He isn't busy fasting. He's busy serving. So he can't send Sarah Kol Shel Bracha. So that answers that kasha. And with this we can also explain that they send Sarah from their Kol Shel Bracha is not an inyan of Hefech HaTznius. There's no Tznius problem here. Why? Because there's no other way that she's going to get a Kol Shel Bracha. If Avram isn't eating, and there's no one else around, it's a boiling hot day, there's no one else around, Sarah needs the Kol Shel Bracha. So you can't, it's an inyan of lack of Tznius that the Chassid and the Kala should be standing together at the wedding. That's very, very nice, but he's got to marry her. He's got to be Mekadesh her. If you got to do the mitzvah, so you have to do the mitzvah. So here, the only way to send her the Kol Shel Bracha is if they send her their own Kol Shel Bracha, and not Avram's. So therefore, it isn't a lack of tznius. It's the only way you can do it. Ain lom demafshir mishiyafshir. So they didn't do anything wrong. Not only that, it says l'shagir l'kol shel bracha. They sent her. They didn't give it to her directly. They just sent it to her. Now, if you have a child who's learning Chumash, a five-year-old boy, then Chamish Shanim LeMikra. Rashi explains his parish for Rabbi Mech Ben Chamish LeMikra. And if he's a sharp kid, he can still say that Sarah, when she took from the Kol Shel Bracha, that's epis, a little bit of a pagan sneeze. That these men sent her a gift, and she's taking it from them. So one can still ask the Chazor, even though there was no other way of doing it, but listen, they did what they thought is right and they sent it to her, but that she should shrink it. So maybe the factor in the tznius will override the chashav inyan of drinking of a coat from a kosher bracha. So in order to answer that question, Rashi says, Omar Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. Rav Yossi Bar Chanina said, L'shagir l'kol shel bracha. Remember we asked why it's important to know Rav Yossi Bar Chanina? I'm going to tell you now why it was important to know Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. Because if you look in the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, and the Yud Amud Beis, there it says that a woman recognizes guests better than man does. And if that's the case, then Sarah knew very well that these guys weren't Pashta mentioned. They weren't simple people. And therefore, taking the Kol Shel Bracha from these very, very, these weren't Prasta mentioned. They weren't people that weren't starting up with Sarah. It was purely done on a Ruchniyistic level. And Sarah knew that. Sarah could see that better even than Avram could see it. So therefore, there was no lack of tznius. So that explains why we had to quote Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina to say they sent her a Kol Shel Bracha. Because the reason she took it was, and it was no lack of tznius, is because she knew that they were very, very chashuv people. And that's why a woman knows, and that's what Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina himself teaches us, that a woman recognizes the guests better than a man does. So that, anyway, could be the explanation. One might be able to argue with that and say, where does it say she actually took it? It says, Kedei L'Shagar L'Kol Shel Bracha. Doesn't say she took it. Maybe you could argue. But anyway, then we're going with the Mahalach of the Lubavitch Rebbe. Believe me, Rabbi Yossi, I could not have thought of this. Not in a year, not in 1,000 years. But it gets better. My favorite is the climax. We're going to get to that soon, Rabbi Yossi. So after everything, there's still something we don't understand. So even though now we saw that these three reasons that Rashi gives are not the stira, why they asked Ayei Sarah Ishtecha. It's not a stira. And therefore, because there's really no lack of tznius, and they all work together, and they were asking for all reasons, because it's nice to ask, it's derech eretz to ask about the plainest, and because they wanted to show Avram how tznuah she was, and in order to send her the Kol Shel Bracha, and everything was done, and it's not, no lack of tznius, and all three reasons are necessary, Nevertheless, there's still three different reasons. So why did Rashi write them in one continuum? Rashi should have written Davar Acher, another possible. It's not a steal anymore, but it's no contradiction, but at least say Davar Acher, another possible reason, another possible reason, the first reason and not the second reason, the second reason and not the third reason. So each reason has a little bit of a problem with it. So why do we have to bring all three in one handshake? So the explanation is, the reason Rashi brings all three reasons in one continuum is because there were three angels, and each one asked for a different reason. Like we said earlier, Ein Malach Echad, Oseh Shtei Shlichuyos. One Malach doesn't do two Shlichuyos. So these three reasons, each reason is Shayach to a different Malach. To send a Koshel Bracha, it's enough to have one Malach. Like every Koshel Bracha, it's one person. Lishobach Sanya, to ask about the plainista, one Malach is also enough, a different Malach. And L'chabav al-Ba'ala, one Malach also is enough. So one, each Malach, they all said, Vayomeru Elav Ayesara Ishtecha. Where is Sarah? Now, each Malach had a different kavanah when he said Ayesara Ishtecha. One is, like Rashi said, to ask about the plainista. One is to find out where she is to send her Koshel Bracha. And one is to show Avraham how chaviv she is. And each one of the name of the other three, whenever you're doing your shlichus. And you have your own kavana, and it's not a stira to what the other guys are saying. But it's done all together. Rashi doesn't say, Davar Acher, because when it says that they asked, it's all coming together. It's all one thing. It's all one continuing. Malach 1, 2, and 3. It's not that one Malach was asking for three different reasons. That would be Davar Acher. Or three different possibilities as to why the Malach was asking. Could be he was asking in order to send her a Koshel Bracha. Or maybe he was asking for a different reason, to say she's Snua. So that's Davar Acher. Could be this was the reason. There's a difficulty with this reason. It could be that was the reason. But the MS is, it's all complementary. There are three good reasons to ask. They all might have weaknesses, but all together they're nice. And each Malach was asking in the name of the other two Malachs. So therefore Rashi doesn't write a Davar Acher because they're really working in tandem. They all said Ayesara Ishtecha, and all of them in the name of each one, in the name of the other two. Because one Malach can't ask for two reasons. One Malach can't do two Shlichuyos. So each Malach is asking for one reason. And therefore it says, Rashi brings them in one continuum, Behem Shech Echad, to show you that it's each Malach had a separate Kavana, but he was asking in the name of the other two Malachim. And that's why it all comes together and all the reasons really complement each other. Because there really is a weakness in each, in like we saw before, there's a weakness in L'chabav al-Ba'ala, he already knew, he already loved her. There's a weakness in L'shagal Koshel Bracha, he already knew where she is. So Nenela, all three reasons together work well together, and they were really asked each one, each Malach who said Ayesara Ishtecha had a different kavanah. Now, this, my sweetest friends, is where it gets the most exciting. Rashi says that the cloud of wherever the words letters with dots are more than the letters without dots, what do? We darshan the dots. Whenever the letters without dots are more than the letters with dots, we darshan letters without the dots. Who, what did Rashi say? We said in the name of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Why? Why do we have to know it's Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Because this cloud, that when there are more letters with dots than without dots, you dash in the letters with the dots, means not that we're negating the Perush HaPashut. Especially not according to Rashi. Rashi is explaining Pshuto Shel Mikra. Rather, in addition to the Perush HaPashut, to the simple meaning, we're also dashing out the letters as if it's a word in and of itself. So what does this mean? So in our case, we have an Aleph, Yud, and Vav that are dotted. So what do we learn from this? Two things. A, the Aleph, Yud, and Vav are part of the Elov to him. Vayomu Elov. They said to Avram. And really, the Aleph, Yud, and the Vav are tufel to the Lamed. Like it says, Vayitain El Hanar. So what does it mean, Vayitain, in the earlier pasuk? He gave it to the lad. Vayitain Lehanar. To him. So really, the Iker letter is the Lamed. Vayomru Elov. It's really the Lamed in there, that's the Iker. Because it's really Vayomru La'avram. They said, Luh. They said to Avram. So the Iker of Elov is the Lamed, and the Aleph, Yud, and Vav are really subordinate. They're just there to serve, to explain the Aleph. Elov, the Aleph, Yud, and the Vav, they said to Avram, but the Iker is the Lamed. Like Vayitain Elanar, Lehanar, to him. So they said to Avram, so the Iker is the Lamed of the Elov. What's the Aleph, Yud, and the Vav? It's tougher. So that is one way to read the word. Another way is, that Aleph, Yud, and Vav is an independent word. Ayo. As we saw earlier, they were asking Sarah where Avram is. Ayo. So that's the way to read the word. It's read, obviously, in Shul. Ayo. But when we read it, we mean two things. We mean, they said to him, the Lamed and the Aleph, Yud, and Vav, going together with the Lamed, as ancillary, as secondary. And then we also mean Ayo as an independent word. Because they asked Sarah where Avram is. So if that's the case, so what's a Ben Chamishanam Lamikra going to do? What's a little kid going to ask? He's going to say, how's it Shayich that the Osios HaMenukados, the Aleph, Yud, and the Vav, which are more than the Osios that are not Menukados, i.e. the Lamed, how can they be Tufel to the Lamed? If the Aleph, Yud, and Vav have dots, and there are more letters with dots than without dots, then how can you say that the letters with the dots, which is more, which is the majority, is tufel to the letter without the dot to the lamed? Because that's what we said. We said that the Aleph, Yud, and Vav are tufel to the lamed. How is it shayich, a child might ask, for the letters with the dots, which are the majority, to be tufel to the lamed, which is only the minority? So you know what, my sweetest friends? Rashi thought of that kasha. And that's how Rashi brings the klal in the name of, that's why Rashi says the klal in the name of who? That if there are more, remember, the klal is that if there are more letters with dots than without dots, you darshan the letters with the dots. That should make it ikr. So if it's ikr, then how can it be tufel to the lamed? So Rashi said, you know who said this klal? Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Reb Shimon ben Elazar is the same rabbi who says in Meseches Beitza, and Daf Yud Zayin Omer Aleph, that if a woman only needs an yontif to bake one loaf of bread, she can fill the entire oven with loaves of bread and bake them an yontif for the sake of that one loaf, because she wants the oven to be full, it'll bake better. Mimala Isha Kola Tanu Pas. A woman can fill the entire oven with loaves of bread for the sake of just one little loaf. Because that loaf will bake better even though it's yontif. That's what Shimon ben Elazar says. Zeitnen, we see that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, many breads, the majority, the larger number, can be tufel to the minority, to the one loaf of bread. So if that's the case, the many letters, the Aleph, Yud, and the Vav, which is the majority, can be also tufel to the Lamed, a love to Avram, as the simple meaning of the word. I don't know, guys, when I saw that, Rabbi Isaias, I jumped out of my seat. First of all, you see that when Lubavitcher Rebbe was learning the Gemara, a lot of us, we just read the name, like, let's get to the point of what he says. It was Rav, it was Rav Kohana, it was Rav Huna, Whoever it was, it's only important the name if we're going to ask a stira. Ah, how could Rav say this? Rav said elsewhere differently. But a lot of times people don't know, but I know Talmidei Chachamim, they can mamish tell you, not only I know my Rebbe can do it. Once I was speaking publicly at an event, and I was quoting a Gemara, and Baruch Hashem, I remembered what the Gemara said. That much I could do. I remembered in advance. I knew I would have to quote the Gemara. But it wasn't important to me to know who said it. So I whispered to the Rebbe who was sitting there at the dais, I said, who said that? And I think it was Rava. He said, Rava. Because when you know Shas, so you not only know who said it, you not only know what was said, you know who said it. He can go on Lag BaOmer, starts going through all the things Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says. There are a few famous things, a few less famous things. But it's chashuv. You have to get to know the person. You have to get to know their shita. Some people can learn and say, ah, that sounds like a Reb Chaim. Ah, that sounds like a Svar of Reb Shimon. And some people can say, ah, that sounds like a Rebbe Akiva Vort. Sounds like something Rebbe Yishmael would say. It's also a way to learn. Two different Bate Medrash, Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Yishmael. I won't tell you which famous conservative rabbi wrote a book about it. In any event, here Reb Shimon ben Elazar says in the Medrash that if the Nekuda is Rab al-Aksav, if there are more letters that are Menukah, you can dash in them. So then, that's what we're doing here. So how is the majority being tumbled to the minority? Because Pashup Shat in the word is a love, the Lamed is the Ikr. So how are the Nekudos, the Osios Menukados, Tafel in one way? Obviously, Ayo is its own word. But when Ayo goes with the Lamed, it's tough with the Lama, the Iker letter is the Lama. The answer is, you see, that sometimes a majority, many loaves of bread are tough to the one bread. They're all there to serve that one bread. And you're allowed to put it in the oven and bake it on Yantar. Now this exposition of Rashi, which was so brilliant, can't just be left in the realm of thought, of abstract analysis of an ancient text. Rather, we have to bring it down to earth. What does this mean for our lives? And that's why the beautiful thing of the Likutei Sichos is, no matter what he says, he always finishes with, as my Rebbe likes to call it, the Tolna Rebbe, mit unser b'chaim. What's our b'chaim? What are we going to do with this? So, we learn that when you have an oven, and you want to just bake one bread for Yantif, you can fill up the entire oven with bread because it bakes better when the oven is full. So what does that teach us about our Avodas Hashem? That a lot of times people think that they spend most of their time on Divrei Rishus. They're eating, drinking, sleeping, exercising. And such a small amount of time on Dvar Mitzvahs, Divrei Mitzvah. So a person can get down on himself. Oh yeah, I'm wasting so much time. A woman, she's baking, she's cooking, she's cleaning, she's taking care of the house, she goes to work, she goes here, she goes there. Oh, what about my Avodas Hashem? How many mitzvahs do I do every day? The answer is that if all of the Divrei Rishus are done for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of Torah, then they all become Torahic, just like all of these loaves. You didn't need these extra loaves for Yantif. But since you need that one loaf, you can bake them all together. So now these loaves become Yantif Dikav loaves. They're for the sake of Yantif. You're only interested in one loaf, but for that one loaf, for the sake of Yantif, you have to fill it up with an entire oven of loaves. So in the same way, you're right, a person might not do so many mitzvahs during the day, but if his divrei rishus are done l'shem shamayim, so then it's done for the sake of a mitzvah. It's done to enhance, make a parnasa, to be able to pay tuitions, to give kids a Jewish education, to buy food, to give tzedakah, to do mitzvahs, to buy tefillin, sfarim. So all the divrei rishus really become mitzvahdik, just like these chalas became yantivdik. So essentially what we're doing is, we're baking all of our breads for the sake of lechem de Torah, that the lechem de Torah will be nefe yafe. It'll be baked well, like the Alter Rebbe says in the Likutei Torah, on the pasuk va'afu eser nashim lachem chem b'tanur echad. 10 women will break bread in one oven, that the bread of Torah should be baked with the heat of love that comes from one. As he puts it here, as der lechem de Torah soll sein ausgebacken in der chamimus tanur ha'ava ha'bames vonenus shel echod. And what does that turn into? That's the betanur echod, in the heat of one. That the lechem, the Torah, has to be burned in the heat of one. Like the Rambam says, oyvei des Hashem tamid afilu b'shoshu noisei v'noisein v'afilu b'shoshu yoshein shein eshelo avoydu l'mokum baruchu. That's what a person has to do. He has to heat up his lechem of Torah with divrei rishus. He's eating for Torah, he's sleeping for Torah, he's playing for Torah, it's all for Torah. Everything is l'shem shamayim. Everything is to make a dira b'tachtonim, to make a place that God can reside, a world permeated with ruchnis. And that will be a hachana rabbosai to the kiyum of divrei chazal and maseches Shabbos and aflamed on the beis, that asida eretz Yisrael shetotzi gluskos, that Eretz Yisrael will in the future grow beautiful whole wheat, delicious loaves of bread. That's what Eretz Yisrael will produce. And the earth will no longer be in a state where we have to work so hard. No more b'zeas apecha tocha lechem. B'vias Mashiach tzidkenu b'meheira v'yameinu amein v'amein. My sweetest friends, if you stuck with me throughout this whole thing, then you are my hero. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos.